Mr. Nobody. Testing 1, 2. Episode 27.
Dad, I'm sorry.
The accident. Just before my son turned 18, and it was clear that he had a serious drug problem. A month before his 18th birthday, I got a call from him at 5 or 6 in the morning.
Dad, I'm sorry.
And whenever there's a call at that hour, you know you have to pick it up because it's
bad news.
Pick it up, I did. And it was my son on the other end.
Dad, I'm sorry.
Which immediately was comforting in some way because he wasn't dead. My mind was racing, trying to check things off the list.
The shit list.
My daughter was safe because I knew where she was. But that night was a very strange night because I was awake quite late in a recording studio some miles away.
City mouse, country mouse.
And I'd spoken to my son, who was with a friend of his. That kid didn't do drugs, or what
the fuck do I know?
I didn't think my kid did drugs. But then I got this call saying, Dad, I got in a car accident.
Dad, I'm sorry. I got in a car accident.
Can I tell you how weird it is when I imitate my son's voice just by speaking that I sound like him, that he sounds like me? That somehow the shape of our face, our mouth, our larynx, and our thoughts, I think I'm hearing him.
Anyway, back to the story.
I got in a car accident. This was a car that I had purchased for my son. And I hate to say something stupid like,
I'm not made of money.
But cars do not roll out of my butt.
This was
not easily replaceable. Certainly not like a human life, which is irreplaceable. Just a car.
But there was something
much more about it all. Buying my son a car was a big deal.
It had to do with trust.
And at this time, right before he turned 18,
I was blinded
by what he chose to show me. A car is a dangerous thing.
Especially if you're driving it around all fucked up.
It's a murdering machine. So I had many serious talks with my son. He seemed all right. What did I know? Give him the freedom
to
have a life.
I remember my first car.
That's right. Life can be fun.
Extraordinarily
liberating. It sounds a little pathetic when I recite it now, but I looked for the safest car I could find for him.
Something that was rugged and
roadworthy. And I found it. I won't say the make and model, but let's just say somebody would know your parent bought you that used car to get you where you're going in one piece. What did I know? I remember seeing my son drive by me in the little town with his glasses on.
He looks so little in there.
Driving. He was unaware that I see him through the window of that car going by.
Moving.
On his way somewhere. To see him take steps in life where he had more control.
More options.
It was both terrifying and exhilarating. Every parent fears for their kid.
There was such a tension
underneath everything, because I sensed in my son a deep sorrow.
A sadness I couldn't penetrate.
That I knew was wrapped up in the drugs, in secrets, in multiple lives.
In lying. And in that shadowy path leading towards death.
Death. Dad, I'm sorry. I got into a car accident. What? What happened, son?
I slid off the road.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
What do you mean you slid off the road?
Are you okay? And then I heard him cry. Whimper. I'm okay. But I totaled the car.
Fuck.
Okay. What happened?
I was driving home. To Mom's. And I fell asleep. And slid off the road.
I knew right then. Nobody falls asleep in a 3-mile ride. I knew that the car accident
was the least
of our trouble. My son must have gotten high as he left his friend's house and nodded off. Whatever.
It's such bullshit.
But there we were. There we were. Typical story. Almost every recounting of this tragedy, either my story or someone else's, usually has a car accident. I felt like I was living in a cartoon strip where all the things were happening, and I was that father in the cartoon strip that could not see what the rest of the world could see. Now, to be suddenly looking through the lens of this potentially fatal accident, I started to glimpse my son's parallel narrative to mine. His story had been there all along. I just couldn't or didn't see it. I was unnoticed that my son was in acute danger during this time. But we had to work. Sometimes we had to be away from each other. And it turned out that he could not be trusted. I hate to say it that way, but that's what heroin does.
Dad, I'm sorry.
Nobody just falls asleep, son. I went upstate that day and I went to the
junkyard.
And when I saw the car, I was
shocked.
Not only did he slide off the road, but he slid into a fence made out of wrought iron spears
from another century
that surrounded this monastery place. Just beyond it were the fields that I used to take him to play soccer. And these spears that the fence was constructed out of had impaled the passenger's chair, missing the driver by inches. And the car was totaled. My son had experience with death because just a month prior to this, when we were on our way to train at our martial arts
facility,
He came to our little apartment and said,
Dad, I can't go.
I can't go tonight. Yes, we're going.
I countered.
And he started breaking down, really breaking down, hard to describe.
And I said, what happened?
And he said he went over to a non-friend's house. I think I need the organ back. This kid who used a lot of drugs, never met him, but only heard about him. And he went over to this kid's house. Okay, what happened?
I saw somebody die.
Today?
Yeah. Like an hour ago.
Of course, this is not normal. Or typical in our everyday. Tell me what happened.
I went to hang out with my friend. And his roommate had a heart attack.
His roommate? My son was only 17. Who's your friend who has a roommate?
His roommate was 30 years old.
Your friend has a roommate who's 30 years old? Isn't 30 years old a little young to have a heart attack? Then the anvil got hit. He died from fucking heroin, didn't he, son? And my son just started crying.
We tried to help him. We couldn't move him. He was foaming at the mouth. He was heavyset and big. We didn't know what to do. Afraid to call the police or the ambulance.
I'm like, why? You're not doing that shit. And then the other anvil hit. You guys wouldn't call the police because this is your game too. I don't know the full story. It sounds like my son and his friend panicked. And were probably high themselves. Because there'd be no other reason for him to be over there. And by the way, that
non-friend of my son
also killed himself with an injection of heroin. So my teenage son, who's living this double life as a good son, and a heroin user, and his stupid fucking friend went through the typical dance of watching a fellow drug abuser die an agonizing death. There's enough humanity still left in him that he realized that this was wrong. A trivialization of life, of death, a mockery of life, of death. Not that it matters, but these were some of the darkest days of my life. I felt like I was spinning plates on every part of my body.
Hey, could we hold off on the organ for now? Thank you.
Trying to find a way to help him. To reach him. I don't know if I can say I was in denial, because I was terrorized. absolutely terrorized. I couldn't leave. I couldn't let him out of my sight. I couldn't trust anybody else to watch him. And on those few days when I had to be somewhere, the shit hit the fan. And I realized that he was timing his experiences into the abscesses of my attention. And this would repeat itself on his final journey. I mean, I'm not his fucking jailer. That's not the point here. I love him. I don't want him to kill himself. And this person that he watched die, I thought might have triggered something in him to realize that this is not some abstraction. But it didn't. And unfortunately, from my biased point of view, it doesn't seem to trigger any change in the drug addict. They see a person die, and the next day they're on the horse again. What's it gonna take? Now it's too late, and it doesn't matter, and I don't care anymore, because I can't bring him back.
Dad, I'm sorry.
I know. I'm sorry too, son. The interesting thing about these conversations with you, with my son, with myself, is that I start out with one thing in mind,
but I end up somewhere completely else.
Digging into an area that I didn't know existed or I'd forgotten about. I really tried to be a good father, to love him, to make him think, to make him strong, but also to be gentle, to listen. We had the best times. I used to make my son, hate to say it that way, play frisbee with me like I'm a fucking dog, a golden retriever. And it was like that, like I needed to go out and play. And he would finally acquiesce after a couple of my insistent pleas. And we would have the best time. We would take our shoes off and our shirts off, because in this one field that we knew, we could run at full
speed
in any direction. And we never stepped on anything metal or glass. It was
amazing.
It still is. My daughter recently played frisbee with that same frisbee I used to toss back and forth between the hands of my son.
And mine.
But the last day I played was just a few days before he killed himself. And that time, he insisted on playing. I made a big joke about it because I was like,
what the hell?
And he wanted to go. And in fact, it was with that same friend with whom he was with the night that he had his car accident.
And that person, I shall not say his name,
suffered a lot of tragedy in his life. He lost his mother. His father more or less abandoned him. He loved my son so much. And my son destroyed something in that kid.
I wish I could say.
People saw it coming, but it was like hitting a tree. It was like falling asleep at the wheel, and the next thing you know,
you're impaled.
The signs were there, but then they weren't there. It was
a dance of smoke and mirrors.
I got to live with my son one-on-one, and that relationship is indescribable. The day-in, day-out beauty of what it was like to have a friend, a clansman, a kinsman, a person of like mind, who also instructed me. I used to ask him,
you tell me.
How would you handle a situation like this? How would you reason through this dilemma? And we would have that as a game, and not just as an exercise of the mind, but also as a way to uncover what is the good thing, the right thing, the best thing. You tell me, son.
What do you think?
And why? Parallel realities. I'm not sure where I'm going to go from here. A year ago, I was actually suicidal.
I can say that now with some clarity.
I was so bitter and grief-stricken at the truth. And I've been thinking about this a lot. Why should I burden you or even myself
with this level of
struggle or letting myself speak at all? I feel like I was eternal through him. And not just me, all the
ghosts,
like a tunnel through time, transcending time, bypassing time. And my son was this beautiful next page. And it just kind of feels like I have nothing to really live for.
I try to resist that idea, but that message is still there. You lost your future. You lost your purpose, your meaning, in this little piece of the game.
That's the depth of grief. And it's also the depth of grief that you will cause. And you should know that now. Maybe you don't know it until you experience it. I knew what it felt like to be in terror of losing my son. And when it finally happened, it was worse. A whole lot worse. This heroin, this game, this bullshit, enriching drug dealers and cartels, supporting murderers, killing yourself, poisoning your family, dying a shitty death while living a shitty life. Fuck it. It's 2 weeks of sweating and pissing and you'll be done with it. If you know that it's bullshit. What do I know? So I'd like to close with this idea. I've been thinking that life could be one of two things. It could either be this little blip sandwiched between two oblivions, and that's it. Make out of it what you want, be a dick if you want, be great if you want, or there could be some connection to our ancestors, to the people that came before us and will come after us. And not everybody on that line did okay. Many did not. Some suffered, some were good, and some weren't good. If there is a reality like that, where we still can have a relationship with our ancestors, that there might be some way I might live with the idea and the purpose of healing mind, and therefore myself.
That's what came to me.
And I tell this story about my beautiful son so that you know that you're beautiful too. But you have to discern that which is sheer fucking bullshit. Only you have the power. Mr. Nobody. Out. We'll be right back. was so beneath you, although